Thank you, Chapman family. Awesome job. Your folks letting you play with fire. Huh? Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for the arrival of your son. We celebrate him. We celebrate your plan of salvation. We're grateful that Jesus is the one who makes the difference in our lives. And as we open your word this morning, and as we look at prophecies, once again, that you would help us understand what Jesus brought to this world and what he will bring to it. And so we are grateful for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we began to look into the prophetic hope of the Messiah through the eyes of the Israelites, and specifically through the writing of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And so today, we're going to be sort of turning back to Isaiah to consider this prophetic promise of peace to be realized in and through Jesus. And when I was thinking about this whole thing of peace, I know it seems sort of like an improbable promise, because we live, maybe we always have lived, but it seems that we live in this world that's immersed in war and division, and but it's from that place of improbability that we can turn our eyes to Jesus. And we remember, maybe you remember these words from the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, where Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so what it's speaking of is that if you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling discouraged, or you're feeling fearful, or perhaps even frustrated by this holiday season, then I want you to know that I believe that you're in the right place today. Because we're talking about Jesus, and it's only through Christ that we can find the peace that we so desperately long for. And here's the good news, is that we don't have to wait another 1,000 years or whatever it is until Jesus returns to experience it, because the peace of God is available to us because Jesus has already arrived. Now, Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9, it's a beautiful picture of the type of peace and harmony that will come with the reign of the Messiah. It's a description of the future, yes, but it's also a picture of how the peace of God can be present in our lives in the here and now. And so let's sort of jump into Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 to 8. It reads this: "The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near a cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest." Now, it's sort of an interesting Christmas passage. You know, this passage gives us a very detailed description of natural enemies living together in harmony with one another. It's a promise of a peaceful kingdom. And we understand these images and the improbable nature of a wolf dwelling in peace with a lamb, a leopard lying down with a calf, or a child putting their hands in a viper's nest, a snake's den. How could that ever happen? How is that possible? What kind of alternative universe would that be? You know, are there people in your life who you can't even imagine eating a meal with or spending an evening with? Is there a specific relative who might be coming over this holiday season that you know it's going to cause trouble for everyone else. What are you going to do? You know? Well, one picture that comes to mind is the moment when Jesus is actually hanging on the cross, and he looks out over all the people that are there to experience his crucifixion. There was Jews at that moment. There were Romans at that moment. And every one of them was looking up at him as his crucifixion unfolded. And then Jesus said this, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It's sort of interesting, right? In that moment, it was all about forgiveness. Because forgiveness is the doorway through which peace enters the space in our lives. You know, Isaiah 11:6-9, it gives us this amazing picture of enemies dwelling together in harmony. And this reality isn't just a defining feature of Christ's everlasting kingdom. It can actually be a reality that we experience here and now with one another. You know, because forgiveness is a gift that's offered to all of us through Christ. You're all familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But do you know what the next verse is? In verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Forgiveness is one of the most powerful gifts that we can actually extend to others. In many instances where we have enemies or divisions with others, there just needs to be this, there needs to be a process of forgiveness. You know, think back for a moment to those relatives coming over that you're really not too excited about. Now, I can speak to that because we have relatives in our family that we don't want to spend Christmas with because they create chaos, right? I don't know if they plan it, but you know, do you have relatives that drink excessively? You know, it puts a whole different flavor on a Christmas holiday. And there's something that needs to be dealt with in that situation. Is there some kind of past event or frustration or friction in your relationship with them that needs to be dealt with? If there is, then I trust that Christ can grant you the strength and courage to step into that process with the ultimate goal of finding peace. And part of Christ's ultimate plan and purpose is to restore creation to a place of peace. Now, like I've shared the story with my dad before. Like, I left home, you know, and I just really wanted to have nothing to do with my dad. It was a hard thing, and when I told my dad that I was going to be a pastor, that ensued like 2 years of not talking to me. It was hard, and I was always really bothered by it. But I remember when my grandfather died, and I was sitting with my mom in his room, and we were talking about my dad. I right in that moment, I knew what I had to do. It wasn't really even about my dad. What I needed to do was to forgive him. And I remember sitting in my blue Ford Aerostar van, weeping before God, asking me, to fill me with a heart of love for my dad, and confessing, you know, my own issues that I had with him. And forgiveness ensued. Did my dad change and stuff? Well, you know, over the years, like, we have a good relationship with each other now. But that wasn't there before that process. But that's what forgiveness done. That's part of Christ's ultimate plan and purpose, is to restore creation, everything in creation, you and I and everything, to that place of peace. Isaiah 11, verse 9, "They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, that's an interesting verse, and it starts off with the word they. They, okay? Who is they? You know, for those who understand the previous verses about the animal kingdom, they see it as just specifically related to the animal kingdom. They see that word as referring to the predatory animals. That in that time, you know, these animals will stop hunting and they'll stop killing and being changed in their very nature, their very being during the rule of Christ on earth. Now, and for those that understand Isaiah to be picturing animals as representatives of peoples and nations, they read that word they to refer to those formerly very aggressive nations, those that existed to kill and conquer the earth. But in either case, wherever you land on that, all such hunting and killing and conquering will cease once the Messiah sits on the throne of the world. That's a promise in Scripture. That when the Messiah sits on the throne of the world, it's going to stop. But you ask, why will it stop? Why will that happen? It is because they will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And because they know the knowledge of the Lord, peace will cover the entire earth, because the world will finally and fully understand who God is and be in relationship with Him through the Messiah, who is the Christ. You know, really, all attempts to secure global peace in any other way will ultimately fail. There are going to be more wars. There is going to be more destruction, because there is no system of government or control that can fully unite the people of the world together. Certainly not for any lasting period. The only thing that will ever bring true peace and that interconnectedness in our world is when the knowledge of the Lord and trust in Jesus covers the earth. That's the only and final path to global unity. And so there's only one person in the whole world that will be able to achieve that, and that is Christ. As a Christ follower, I look forward to the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, and that the world will be at peace because of Christ the Messiah. And this reality is reflected again in the book of Colossians, when Paul writes these words to the Colossian church. He says, "For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him," speaking of Jesus, "and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." And again, there's that word peace. Christ made peace through His blood, through shedding it on the cross. And it's through Christ that we can experience redemption and restoration and forgiveness and peace. And that's the good news that's worth sharing with others. Even if that person is your weird Uncle Charlie or your awkward Aunt Karen, whoever they might be, because Christ died for them too. And so can I encourage you to remember Him this Christmas season? The holidays can be a difficult time, and as a pastor, I'm reminded of that reality every year as I meet with individuals and families. You know, to give you an idea on how people are feeling this Christmas season so far, I have had conversations with people who have had have money concerns, not being able to buy Christmas presents. And it's not even having money to buy Christmas presents. For some, it's just having money to buy food. I've talked to others that are finding it hard to find enough time to actually prepare everything for Christmas, finding care for their children or dependents. Talk to people that are struggling with traveling, logistics, staying somewhere. I've talked to people that are actually struggling in their marriages, and they're not sure they're going to make it. Estrangement is another one. You know, bereavement is another one where you've lost a loved one this season. In fact, my former pastor, a pastor I worked with at my last church, his wife, her mother just died. Godly woman, you know, and that makes Christmas a little bit more challenging. Divorce, separation, breakups, health problems, loneliness. There's a myriad of issues that people face through the Christmas season. And so as we think of this Advent season and the arrival of Jesus, we're reminded that part of the messianic hope and promise was a world restored in peace. And I think that we could probably all agree right now that the world needs peace. It needs peace just as much as it did in the time of Isaiah, and just as much as it's going to every single day until Christ returns. And forgiveness is something that we can offer, that we can be a part of that peace plan. Because forgiveness is really a powerful path to peace. But so are things like empathy and understanding. Maybe there are people around you right now that just need someone to listen to them. Maybe they just need someone to say, I can imagine how you feel, and I'm sorry. You know, I know it's a busy time of year, but what would it look like to share some time, to share some space with others this holiday season? You know, as we remember Christ, let's also remember that we live in a world weary of sin and destruction. It's a world that's longing for peace, and we know where eternal peace can be found. The arrival of Jesus 2,000 plus years ago changed everything. On the one hand, his arrival brought anything but peace to many of the people in and around Jerusalem. In fact, King Herod had all the firstborn boys murdered just to find and stop this specific messianic prophecy from coming true. It was not a very happy Christmas, that first one. But on the other hand, Jesus did live and accomplish his purpose here on earth. And through him, we can access peace in the midst of life's storms. Through him, we can experience eternal forgiveness and salvation. Oh, wrong side. Sorry. Through him, we can access peace. Whatever we are going through, and through him, we can experience eternal forgiveness and salvation. In Christ, we have peace that really surpasses our understanding. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so what that is telling me, that if you are feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, discouraged, fearful, or frustrated with this holiday season, whatever you are going through, that it's only through Christ that you can find the peace that you desperately long for. And here's the good news, is that you just don't have to wait for it. It's available to you now, because Jesus has arrived. He's arrived. And so we have the ability to let go of our anxiety and our fear, and we can pick up that gift of Christ, and we can share them with others. We can share the good news of great joy, and we're going to be talking about that good news of great joy next week. Let's pray. Father God, there is so much chaos and confusion in the world in we live. And we ask you, Father, this morning that you would help us to experience the divine peace that is only available in and through your Son, Jesus. Help us to lay down our burdens. Help us to lay down our struggles, our problems at the feet of Jesus this Christmas season. We thank you so much that he came to make a way and make a path for us to know you and love you and serve you. And so we commit ourselves to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.